From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this has been written by the prophets, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men, and learned from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star, and that they had seen at its rising. And they followed it until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How many of you like a good mystery movie or book? A good, you know, whodunit kind of thing. We don't hear the term mystery movie that much anymore. Today they're usually called thrillers. And they're meant to get us thinking, trying to figure out who's done what, or how it's going to happen, or why it happened. One of the best mystery movies, thrillers that I've ever seen, was a movie that came out 21 years ago, and it was called The Sixth Sense. Have any of you seen that movie? Okay, The Sixth Sense. The movie's ideas of death and the afterlife and the destination of the soul, they don't really align with Christian theology, but it is a good mystery movie. The movie is about a young boy who sees the ghost of dead people. For some reason, his sixth sense has been turned on, and he's able, it allows him to communicate with them. And so they seek him out in order for him to help them. They want him to help him to right a wrong or to reveal a truth so that they can be at peace. The boy then meets a psychologist who's trying to help him understand these encounters, or even if they're real or just a figment of his imagination. The story becomes more and more intense, more thrilling, more mysterious as the psychologist gets closer and closer to discovering the truth. And then there comes a point toward the end of the movie where the viewer is finally let in on the secret of the movie, and everyone's eyes pop out, their jaw drops, and they go, "Ah!" Now, I'm not usually very good at figuring out these things, but for some reason, I figured out the secret before the aha moment. And I can remember, I saw something, and all of a sudden, this light bulb went off in my head. It came on, and it all became very clear to me. The truth was made known. And at that moment, I had an epiphany. The mystery was obvious. It was revealed. For hundreds of years, the Jewish people tried to figure out the mystery of the Messiah. Who was he? Where would he come from? What would his purpose be? What would he do, and where would he live? And in God's perfect timing, finally, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And as God had done so often in Israel's past, he now communicates with them once again. And he announces to Israel through the Jewish shepherds that the Lord is come. The shepherds, they go and they find the Christ child. They bow down and they worship him, and they leave glorifying and praising God, telling everyone about what they had seen and heard. But the Jewish people refuse to hear and accept this good news. Although the news was first supernaturally revealed to the Jewish people, it was not meant for them exclusively. Instead, the good news was for the whole world. And representing the rest of the world, we have these visitors from the East. We call this visitation Epiphany. This visit represents Christ being revealed to the Gentile world. The mystery was made known. In the movie The Sixth Sense, the producer, in good mystery movie fashion, provides the viewer with clues to the secret of the movie. However, only the very observant would have picked up on all these clues. And the clues had a common thing to them, the color red. And so every time you saw a color red, it was a clue to what the secret was. Now, the observant viewer could have recognized all these clues and come to the conclusion before the secret is revealed. And this is what the Magi did. Now, they weren't taking clues from a movie, but they observed history. And they gathered up the clues from the prophets and observed the natural world around them and figured out that the Christ had been born. And when they found the child, they knew that their conclusions were correct, that the Messiah had come, and they worshiped him. And through these men, Christ is revealed to the rest of the world. These men have been traditionally called wise men or kings or magi. We sing, as we just did, the traditional hymn, We Three Kings. However, the Greek word describing these men is magoi, or as we say, magi. From Matthew's account, what we know about them is that they came from the East, that they studied the stars, and that they had some wealth. But from other sources, we glean a little bit more information. The word magi means wizard or magician or enchanter. In the Old Testament, King Nebuchadnezzar called upon Daniel after his magi could not interpret his dreams. When Moses confronted Pharaoh to let his people go and he threw his staff down and it turned into a snake, Pharaoh called upon his magi to turn their staffs into snakes to oppose Moses. But perhaps the most famous magi is Balaam, who many of you know had a strange conversation with his donkey. But Balaam was hired by the king of Moab to go and place a curse upon Israel. But God intervened, and instead Balaam blessed Israel, and part of the blessing was the prophecy of the Messiah's birth in Numbers 24:17. Balaam said, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." And it just may be this prophecy of one of their own that caused the Magi to be looking to the stars for a sign. The word Magi carries with it many negative connotations. For a long time, for hundreds of years, these men were usually seen as sorcerers and were considered evil. However, they also became known as wise men, okay? They were men of great knowledge, and the Magi were well-educated men who studied all kinds of things such as science and theology and philosophy and medicine and astrology and astronomy, all kinds of things. Most scholars believe that Matthew intends to present them as seekers of knowledge, seekers of wisdom. And because they were skilled astrologers, they noticed a new star. Although God forbids astrology as a form of divination, God used this sinful practice to reveal himself in a place that they were looking, in the stars. God often meets us where we are, even if it's not where we should be. Now, just where the Magi came from is a highly debated topic. Matthew 21 says they came from the east, and most scholars believe the Magi were Zoroastrian priests from the eastern lands of Persia, Chaldea, and Babylon, which is modern-day Iran and Iraq and Turkey. The Persian area was ruled by a king who claimed to be the King of Kings. And so a prophecy of one to be born who would be called the true King of Kings certainly would have been of some interest to these Magi. The Magi were not kings, as our song says, but they probably assisted and counseled the king. It was common practice in that day for a king to send congratulations and gifts at the birth of a new royal king. And so it's possible that they were sent as royal emissaries of the king. Now, assuming that the king would be born in a palace, they went to Jerusalem. Whether they were wealthy men who went on their own or went as representatives of the king, they most likely traveled in a large caravan. It was safer that way, which did not go unnoticed by King Herod. And so in Matthew 2, verse 3, we read that Herod summoned the Magi. "Come to me," and he summoned them secretly. Herod did so because he was afraid. He was troubled. He didn't like the fact that the Magi were asking for one who was born king of the Jews. For he was not a true king of Israel. He was a usurper king. And the idea of a child from the line of David, a true royal family member, frightened him and threatened his power. And so he pumped the Magi for information. He pretends that he desires to worship the new king, but his true intent was to kill him. And he sends the Magi away, requesting that once they find him, return to me, that I may go and worship him as well. Now, this is where tradition and history collide. Traditionally, we're told that the Magi find the Christ child at the manger, and they bow before him as he lays in the manger and present him with their gifts. But Matthew records in chapter 2, 11, and 12 that they found the child in a house. He is no longer a baby. He is a child. He's no longer in a manger, but he lives in a house in Bethlehem. Add to this that after Herod realized the Magi had left without informing him of where they found the child, he ordered, based on when they first saw the star, that every male child under the eight or two and under to be killed. So many scholars believe that Jesus was about 1 year old when the Magi finally find him. Why did it take them so long? Well, the trip was 750 miles around the Fertile Crescent, which usually takes about a month to travel. But if they saw the star when Christ was born, it was a sign the Messiah is born, then they had to figure out what it meant. They had to confer with one another. They had to go to the king, talk to him. The king would decide, "We're going to send emissaries. You're going to go." They had to gather up the money, the camels, the food, the people, the water, all the drink, get the gifts. It could take some time to get a caravan together. Another question is, how many Magi were there? Traditionally, we say three, but that's just based on the three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh that they gave. There could have been many more. But regardless of how many or when or where they found the Christ child, the important thing is that these Gentiles, non-Jews, did seek out, they did find, and they did worship the Christ. The light had come on for the rest of the world, and the truth was revealed that the Messiah's saving acts were for the whole world, not just for Israel. The adoration and homage the Magi gave was important because it showed that magic and Zoroastrianism had been overtaken by the recognition of a true religion. We refer to this recognition of the outside world as Epiphany. And for 2,000 years, on January 6th, the 12th day of Christmas, we have celebrated the Magi's visit. Tradition says the Magi saw the star on December 24th, and 13 days later, arrived in Bethlehem. We know that's not possible, but this is the date that we have set aside to remember that. For most of us here, we have had our epiphany in our faith. The light has already gone on, and we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and that is wonderful. So then what does this day continue to mean for us? It is a day that we remember and celebrate the good news being revealed to the world. On Christmas, God sent His one and only Son to begin His glorious mission to save humanity, save the world. And as the great prophet of the Gentiles, Paul, said in Ephesians 3, the mystery has been made known. And this mystery is this, that through the gospel, this good news, the Gentiles, and that's pretty much all of us, are heirs together with Israel, members together in the body of Christ, and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. That is the mystery of Epiphany. That is why we celebrate this day, that we, non-Jews, are heirs of the kingdom of God, that we are part of the body of Christ, and we share in the promise of eternal life. And if that's not a reason to celebrate, I don't know what is. I said earlier that the movie The Sixth Sense came out 21 years ago. And so I believe that the unwritten rules about spoilers, well, the statute of limitations is over. All right. So if you haven't seen it, well, spoiler alert, all right. The aha moment in The Sixth Sense is when the psychologist who has been working with this special boy has an epiphany of his own. The light comes on and the truth is made known that the psychologist himself is dead. But he didn't know it. And he needed this boy to help him recognize this fact and accept it. And when he finally recognizes that he's dead and he accepts it, he's at peace. In the same way, when we understand the mystery of our lives and the light comes on, when we understand the truth revealed through Christmas and Epiphany and the Scriptures, we too recognize that we are dead to sin. But through the saving help of a young boy, a child born in Bethlehem, we too are saved and we receive peace through Jesus Christ. Amen. The last thing we're told about the Magi is that they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, but to return by another road. These men came by one road and they left by a new road. They came as one state of creation, but left as a new creation. These men didn't wait until they saw the star to begin studying the prophecies and the Scriptures and the theology. It was because they studied all the Scriptures and the prophecies, because they were seeking God each day, that they saw the star. They recognized it for what it was. We too should be like the Magi, constantly in our Bibles, studying the Scriptures. And you know, each time that we learn something new about God, that's an epiphany. A light bulb comes on, right? For the past 6 weeks, we have experienced 4 weeks of Advent and 2 weeks of Christmas. And during those weeks of worship and being together and doing your home studies, did you experience any epiphanies? Has any new truth about God been revealed to you and made known? And if so, how will you use this new truth? Will you continue down the same road you've been traveling? Will you use this new understanding to allow this truth to take you down a new road, a straighter road, a road that walks more closely with Christ? Choice is yours. Choose this day whom you will serve. Amen.